Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Welcome to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. And as you know, The Gathering is our monthly discussion show. And Melissa Gould is here. Unfortunately, Tom couldn't make it tonight. And filling in for Tom is Roman Karpyshka, who's hosted some of the shows. You might recognize Roman. Say hello, Roman.
Say hello, Roman.
All right.
Hello, Roman.
Hi, Roman.
Fran is here. I'm Bob. And tonight's show is something that we haven't done before. It's like a wrap-up show. We're coming to the end of the year. We were fortunate to have a lot of good guests, and some shows were better than others, and we'll try to pick out some of the highlights of the year, and we can discuss them, and you're welcome to call in at 1-888-627-6008 if you'd like to chime in on the conversation. And Fran is chomping at the bit to we're falling asleep. I don't know which one. Get us caught up on upcoming announcements.
Okay. So, for the end of the year, my final reminder here is to always check the events page on our website at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. That's where you're going to find everything that's coming up, and you won't want to miss it, particularly if you haven't listened to the radio show and you've missed my announcements, or it's an announcement I haven't covered. So you really do want to regularly check our events page on foreverfamilyfoundation.org. That having been said, I will now bring you up to what's going on with our discussion groups. On December 3rd, from 1 to 3 p.m., we have an afterlife discussion group in Miami, Florida. On December 10th, from 2 to 3 p.m., we have our Visionary Explorers group. That's an online meeting. And on December 11th, from 2 to 4, we have our afterlife discussion group in Sanibel, Florida. We do receive a lot of emails saying most of our events are on the East Coast. We've touched upon this before, but I want to end the year repeating this. We want to clear this up. All of our events are not on the East Coast. A lot of our events are on the East Coast, and that's simply because our events are where we have volunteers. So if you are thinking that you should have an event in your backyard, then you need to start gathering up dedicated volunteers. We are a 100% volunteer organization. That's the karma fuel on which we run. If there's no volunteers, there's no event. Kind of simple. So, again, if you want an event in your backyard, start gathering up those dedicated volunteers that are in line with the philosophies of Forever Family Foundation, and we can bring some events to your backyard. Speaking of which, we have just added a Holidays Past event in Pompton Lakes, New Jersey, with mediums Janet Nohavik and Joe Scheel on December 10th at 7 p.m. And yes, that is the East Coast. And yes, we have volunteers in New Jersey, and that's why that event is there. And if you know anybody in New Jersey, this is the event you want to be at. It's a last arrival, so there are not a lot of attendees signed up for this, and it is next week on December 10th. So if you're going to be in New Jersey or nearby New Jersey, this is where you want to be on that wonderful Saturday night. Last reminder, last call for our December 23rd raffle drawing. Five winners will each receive a one-hour phone reading with one of our Forever Family Foundation certified mediums. Those mediums in the drawing are Catherine Nadal, Heidi Jaffe, Tracy Lee Nash, Renata Santarelli, and Lee Ashley. As I speak, there are only 97 people who have entered this raffle. So hurry up, get your entries in before December 23rd. The odds are great. And please, 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 all year long, help our programs continue to go by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. So I'm sure there are other charities that you do support, and that's wonderful, but please keep us in mind because we do not get the funding that those charities do get. And so it becomes challenging at times for us to pay all of our bills and to bring you the services that we do bring you, including this radio show. And you can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, great nonprofits, and Wells Zoo. And remember on each of these to name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. And those are all my announcements, and I'm turning it back over to you, Bob.
All right, and as regular listeners know, I mean, the radio show has different formats. We have this gathering show, which is more of a discussion show, and we bring up different topics. We have one show each dedicated to medium readings, and it's hosted by Doreen Malloy and Mediums and Messages, and the rest are interview shows. So we're not going to get into the Mediums and Messages show, as great as they are, because they're mostly medium readings, and there's not much to discuss. You know, it's personal information. But, I mean, there are certainly some guests that stand out. And one who was on the top of my list was Michael Grosso. If you remember Michael, his latest book is The Man Who Could Fly, St. Joseph of Cupertino. And it's a detailed and intriguing account of St. Joseph, who was able to levitate, and I'm not talking about levitating, you know, like a fraction of an inch, you know. I mean, he'd fly up to 25 feet in the air in an outdoors or in a cathedral and witnessed by hundreds and hundreds of people, you know. And as you might suspect, the church tried to keep him under wraps, you know. I mean, they didn't want him to be very high profile because, you know, these were things that, I mean, only the churches could perform miracles, you know, and it wasn't for everybody else. The word didn't want to get out. So that was, if you remember, Fran, I mean, were you kind of intrigued by that show? I mean, did you believe what you were hearing?
Yeah. Well, I'm open to all this stuff, so it's good. It's good for me.
Yeah. Roman, did you happen to catch that show?
Yes, I did, and it was quite remarkable, especially the fact that, you know, the only bad thing about that is that it happened so long ago, and it's such a shame that they didn't have, you know, smartphones back then to record the event, you know? That would have been something really good, but, you know, so now we're relying on anecdotal testimony written down. But, you know, the way that he described it, it was completely believable that it actually happened.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point. You know, you said it in jest, but it's true. You know, with cell phones, you know, everything is instantly available to everybody. But I just wonder, I mean, people constantly are taking video on their cell phones of UFOs, you know, and you're just about every day, you know, in parts of the globe, and yet that still hasn't made a dent in mainstream thinking. So I wonder, you know, if you had a cell phone video of somebody levitating, that would be similarly dismissed, I think, by most, saying it has to be some sort of trickery.
Right? Well, we have that modern magician, I think, Chris Angel, who stands on the street and levitates, and you see it on television, but debunkers will debunk what you're seeing with your eyes. I mean, we're at home watching it on a television screen, so we're like, well, what's really happening?
Right.
But what did St. Joseph, was he putting himself into a mental state to levitate, or what were those circumstances when he was levitating?
He seemed to just be able to do it.
Yeah, I mean, but it's a form, I guess you could call it a form of altered state. He would exhibit a tremendous emotion. And these things would happen, like when he'd have a tremendous outpouring of love, you know, for the universe or whatever, or somebody in particular, and it would elevate him. You know, you talk about you know,
walking on air.
Right. I mean, you know, but literally, you know, he would.
That phrase must have come from somewhere where somebody was in an elevated mood and I'm walking on air.
Right.
And perhaps it started with somebody like St. Joseph.
Well, we could go back to the Jesus walking on water thing. Mm-hmm. That would not be the same thing then.
Yeah. Well, you know, from what I've read, there was a tremendous amount of so-called paranormal activity within the high levels, you know, of the Catholic Church back in the day. And as we said, you know, these were suppressed, but they know, you know.
I think the advantage of it happening back in those days is that we also, while we have cell phones now, we also have programs where we can change things.
Right.
And, you
right.
know, like Melissa had mentioned, we watch these shows on TV, but TV is grossly edited. So there's that mistrust that goes there that mainstream science can easily feed into.
Yeah.
So that's I think somebody looks at something that is crazy on a cell phone, my immediate reaction would be that it's probably not real. It's some kind of farce, it's a joke. And also the fact that there's so much of it, it's becoming commonplace. So, you know, back 50 years ago when not everybody had something to record these events with, when something did happen, I think it carried a lot more weight than it would today.
Yeah, very possibly. We're going to go to a quick break. We come back. We're going to get into more of these shows, so stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death, and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. This is a wrap-up show. It's a review of 2016 best guests, topics, and discussions. And, you know, I should mention, Roman, you had your crack at interviewing several of the certified mediums.
I mean, yes, I did.
Did you learn anything in talking to them, different perspectives, or how'd you find that?
It was very fascinating. I got a perspective that not all mediums work exactly the same way. They convey the same message, and both of them were on the same page in terms of what they wanted, you know, the healing that they sought forth to bring to people that are suffering with grief. And they're both very, very good at it. And, you know, we didn't get into any actual practice of the mediumship, but what they both describe was two very different techniques and ways that they were able to communicate with the deceased. Mm. And what I found very fascinating about that is that they had completely different approaches, yet the end goals were the same. And they both subscribed to the fact that they're not going to try to get the same clientele to come over and over again. I think once a year is for both of them was the limit that they would accept a client coming in, because they both understand and know that they are not there as a psychiatrist / therapist. They're there for, you know, the emotional support that comes with knowing that your loved ones survived bodily death. So it was kind of an interesting episode.
Yeah, when you're interviewing, you're exactly right. I mean, mediums are so. I mean, there are a lot of similarities, but there are all great differences. We saw that. We did a radio show recently from our annual mediumship convention in Fort Myers, Florida, and during the radio show we had 11 mediums and Lloyd Auerbach, you know, sitting around a table. And boy, when you have 11, you know, evidential mediums together,
you get 11 different answers.
You get 11 different answers. You know, I mean, we're not talking about spirit communication, you know. But it is interesting. I mean, I love, you know, those shows, and I hope our listeners do, because you get to, as you said, Roman. I mean, the end goal is the same, but there are different paths that they take to get to that end goal.
Absolutely. I just used to think it was broken down into, you know, clairsentient, clairaudience, and what's the other one?
Clairvoyant, did you say? Clairvoyant.
Yeah, well, clairvoyant, clairsentient, clairaudient. I used to just break it down into those three things, but really it's the way that they perceive the messages that really differ. So there's more to it than that. I guess generally you can break it up into those three categories, but it goes a lot deeper than that, and I have a lot of respect for these people.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, you could put three highly evidential mediums, you know, all, you know, in a row, and they could all be getting the same identical information, but the better medium is the one that can translate the message and communicate the message and get, you know, go across, and without filtering it or without letting
right.
their own conscious interpretation, and it's that takes practice, you know, I think.
And confidence. I think confidence, a lot of that, and that comes with the practice.
Right. Another one of our favorite guests was Christopher Kerr.
You
know, and Dr. Kerr, I forget how we pronounce it.
K-E-R-R, Kerr.
Yeah, I don't know, he pronounces it Kerr. But he's the medical director of Buffalo Hospice and a very innovative, forward-thinking, and brave medical doctor who recognized that the vast majority of patients in his very large hospice had these end-of-life experiences. You know, we call them deathbed visions, or you know, or dream visits, or however you want to determine it. But and he embraced it rather than dismissed it, and most of the people that work for him, you know, are trained to recognize, you know, this gift that people seem to have of getting a glimpse of the other side as they approach the end of their physical existence. And that was very moving. And I remember taking my hat off to him, you know, because it's not easy in today's environment, especially in the medical community.
It goes against the grain.
Yeah, it really is. And incidentally, people can listen to that interview just typing in, you know, his name in the search bar of the archives on the website. You can listen to it. He also did a TEDx talk. You could Google Christopher Kerr, K-E-R-R, and you'll see the talk that he did.
It's on TEDx, not TED.
Right.
Just to be straight there.
Is TEDx?
TEDx is different. No, it's TED with a big X.
Okay.
It's for the people who are dismissed from TED. You don't conform to their philosophies on what's real and what's not real. And so topics on the nature of what we would discuss would not fall under a regular TED presentation. It would get, so if you still want TED, you have to move to the TEDx audience.
Interesting, because it was a TED talk where a woman described a mushroom suit to put somebody in at their passing to go into the ground so that then it would germinate all these mushrooms so that the person, you know, going into the earth would recycle in a productive way, not bringing anything spiritual into stuff.
Right, so recycling is okay with the TED.
But not.
But spiritual stuff. Particularly having to do with the afterlife, is not okay with TED.
I never knew there was a difference, friend. This is the first time I hear about that.
There's a huge difference.
And yeah. I thought TED was like, you know, fast, but TEDx was guaranteed overnight delivery.
For us, anyway, yes.
Which is the acronym for God, by the way.
Another interesting guest, as we reflect back, was Jeffrey Mishlov. And Dr. Mishlov has his own series of interviews that he's been doing for decades. The
present Critical one, Thinking Aloud.
Yeah, I think it's New Thinking Aloud.
New Thinking Aloud, yes.
Yeah, and he has some wonderful guests of his own. But he wrote a book quite a while ago that has stood the test of time, called the PK Man, and it's about this gentleman named Ted Owens that had incredible powers, telepathic powers. He could change weather. He could affect the outcome of sporting events. He could manipulate, economic, cycles and things. And what's even more interesting is that he claimed to be in contact with UFOs who guided him, you know, with all this information. And Mishlov conducted a serious scientific research project, investigation of, Ted, and some things he found to be questionable, but the body of evidence was that he did have these extraordinary abilities. So it's pretty scary when you think about the ramifications, because Mr. Owens in addition to having the power to heal people, and you know, with his psychokinetic powers, he could also do harm. So, you know, you didn't want to piss off Ted. So, or you.
Then you'd really have a TEDx.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that, Frank.
Yeah, there were people who were on the fell on the wrong side. And it raises a broader issue about psychic ability, you know, that we always think of it in terms of doing good, but, you know, that may be the root cause of a lot of the ills in this world, you know, all the negative energy that is also has a psychokinetic basis to it. So that's an interview that's well worth re-listening to. I know that we've had people like Carlos Alvarado on. He's going to be doing a webinar for us upcoming in 2017. He's a world authority on the history of mediumship. And, you know, it's always fascinating to talk to Carlos because he has this immense knowledge of these tremendous mediums from the 1800s and early 1900s that were investigated by top scientists of the time. And these mediums were put under rigorous investigations. You know, they were gagged, they were bound, they were, you know, they were subjected to all sorts of physical discomfort, and yet, to their credit, wanted to participate in the research. So, I mean, that's pretty interesting stuff. I was going to say, Roman, I know you mentioned that there were a few shows that you thought...
My favorite type of shows... on Science of Life are the ones where you've interviewed scientists or people that study abnormal phenomenon, paranormal phenomenon, and one of these people, top of the list for me personally, is Stephen Browdy. Not only is he an incredible musician, and he's a great guy, I think I've read all of his books, and I think, you know, he's very, very discerning, and he has... His approach is extremely scientific to test out people with these abilities, and he will, without hesitation, call a spade, and he will point out fraud, and he has. And he set himself up for lots of disappointment, and he does not back away from it. For example, you know, one of the genuine phenomena that he witnessed and he wrote about was the Gold Leaf Lady. And, you know, very impressed by what he wrote, and he stands by what he wrote. And there was no other explanation that, you know, of any fraud of any kind, at least to my recollection of reading the book. But in the same, I think of his next book, he wrote about some medium where he was going to do this big show in front of an audience, and he said, "You come and you watch my show." But Stephen showed up about half an hour early or an hour early to check the place out, and the medium freaked out because, you know, probably some kind of props were set up to make the show a lot better or whatever, and he wouldn't do the show anymore. And just very recently, when you interviewed him a couple of months ago, and I actually dialed in on the show and asked him, how's it going with the physical medium that you're studying, that Kai Mwegi? And at first, when he was talking about Kai Mwegi, when I saw some of his posts on the internet, everything seemed great. He had pictures, and things were really, really good. And, you know, he was pretty impressed and ready, willing, and able to do more research on him. But, you know, from last talking with him, it looked like, you know, he's calling a spade. And he's like, some of the things weren't quite up to my expectations. And he's somebody that's not scared of, you know, he's a man of principle, which I really appreciate about him. And that just makes it super interesting, super believable, and... those are the type of shows that I like the best.
Yeah, and Stephen is, you know, the former chair of the philosophy department at the University of Maryland, and an extremely brilliant philosopher, and he does take that approach. And in the Gold Leaf Lady, that was kind of a departure from some of his other, you know, more academic pursuits.
What was that about?
Well, a woman that he was... you know, came into contact with and started studying, she would spontaneously have this what he described what looked like gold leaf emanating from her skin.
Yep.
You know, and almost like a foil. You know, and
got pictures of it
in the book. I mean, and you know, under close physical examination, I mean, everything was monitored. There was no trickery involved, and
none.
I don't know. You know, to this day, I mean, there was no conclusion was reached. They did, as I recall, test the foil to see if it truly was gold, and it wasn't gold. It just looked like gold.
I'm glad they could test it, though, because we were always told ectoplasm, you cannot touch it because it would harm the person. But in this case, it was all right.
Yeah, and she wasn't a medium, and she didn't do physical mediumship at all. It just was a kind of otherwise normal, so-called normal person. It just started, I mean, all sorts of, you know, crazy things happen, you know, that you never hear about, but yet they're true.
I'm glad he investigated it. So it sounded like it was a later onset. She didn't always have this.
No, and it's been quite a while since I read the book, and I don't know.
I think there were other examples in it, and the whole point of the book, I believe, was to just to show that, you know, everything isn't cooked up to what you think it is. Strange things can and do happen, and these strange things can be studied very, very close, and from my recollection of the book, that's exactly what he did. And he didn't find any trickery or anything, but he just wanted to prove that, hey, you know, there's a lot out there. There's a lot out there that we don't understand, but it's out there. It doesn't make it not real.
Mm-hmm. Right. When you take, you know, somebody like Stephen Browdy, he's the first one to point out the alternative explanations, you know. So everything that he kind of keeps us in check, because everything that we think is a clear-cut, you know, case of survival evidence, you know, he'll go into, you know, great depth of alternative explanations, you know, with, you know, psi, super psi, and things of that nature. And I appreciate that, because, you know, you can't just jump in 100% to everything. You have to consider the alternatives, and you have to form your own conclusions. So. He certainly is not anti-survival. He believes in, in the survival of consciousness. Do you remember, we also had Stafford Betty on, Stafford is a professor, University of California, I believe at Bakersfield, and his latest book, he's written a lot of books about the afterlife, and the latest title is "Are You Any Less When You're Dead?" or something to that, a catchy title, and he goes into a lot of his other books were channeled reports in history and the commonalities in these channeled reports about what an afterlife was like. Here he goes into all of the phenomena, a lot of these things we've discussed on this show, but one thing that we don't often talk about that he talked about was the possibility that certain spirits that have this material attachment after they pass, they stay connected, they attach themselves to people, and the theory is that a lot of the illnesses that we diagnose, you know, like schizophrenia in people and are misdiagnosed, because we really should be calling people that can guide the spirit away, you know, similar to an exorcism.
Yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, so he was, you know, he was actually, I was quite surprised. I mean, he was really a firm believer in this, and that, you know, he thought that a lot of the mental health professionals need to become aware of and be trained in this.
That makes sense.
Interesting.
Yeah.
One thing I like about Stafford Betty, my wife's name is Betty. But aside and apart from that fact, is when he talks, when you've had him on your show, and when I've heard him on other shows, he talks with such conviction about what he knows and what he knows is real from his years and years of dedication to the subject, that I would go as far as to recommend anybody that's new to the grieving process, start with him, because it worked for me. It really gets you thinking that, hey, you know, this isn't the end. there's so much more to it, and he just does it with such conviction that I really admire that guy.
He does, and he's got a true radio voice too. I always
same with that Italian Scotsman Piero Calvo Perissetti, another guy with tons of conviction.
Yeah, we could talk a little bit about Piero after the break. So we're going to go to a break. Come back in about 3 minutes. A lot more to come. Stay with us.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one. Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Perissetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word, .com.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're doing a review of 2016 and some of the highlights and the guests that stand out. We were talking about some of them earlier, Michael Grosso and Christopher Kerr and Stafford
Howdy.
Bay and Stephen Browdy and Jeffrey Mishlove and Carlos Alvarado. You know, we had one show, as I recall, with Dr. Mo Hanna when she was talking about grief and mental health professionals that integrate afterlife concepts into their practices, and that's always refreshing. You know, Mo has presented at some of our grief retreats as well, and as you recall, she does a wonderful job. And I remember in the last one, one of her presentations, she went over all of these different hands-on.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, that was amazing.
With electronic gadgets that can help her, you know. So it's wonderful. I think she talked about some of that in the interview as well.
Can she be one of our regular presenters at the grief retreat? Is that allowed? Or because we always have new attendees.
Yeah, but then we try to rotate, you know, mix it up so that, you know, you don't want to.
If you're a repeat.
Yeah, you don't want to get stale. Because, matter of fact, when we were at the mediumship convention, there were quite a number of people that said that they were returning to the grief retreat that were there last year. So.
Mo and I are practically neighbors. I'm within walking distance of her house.
Really?
Really, yeah. We both live in Latham, and I mean, I found the Forever Family Foundation through Mo. I knew Mo before I knew you guys. Mm. And the way that I found Mo is I read the EMDR book. What's that guy's name?
Alan Buck.
Alan Buck. And he mentions Mo by name as one of the very few practitioners that are certified in EMDR. And I look her up, and it's, holy cow, it was like a sign from God. She's like right next door to me. She lives right next door, like one of like 12 people at the time that were certified in it. So I gave her a call right away.
Yeah.
Did you try that, Roman, that technique?
Yes, I did try EMDR. It's not an easy process. It really isn't, because you have to put yourself in a situation where you were grieving at the very hardest, you know, like where you were at the, you know, part of it is to really, really get upset, like really get emotional, and then move the eyes as you're doing that, and then kind of relax, and then things are supposed to happen. So it's a very, it's not for everyone. It really isn't. Mm-hmm. For me, getting the emotional part, that worked really well, because I got very emotional, but the rest of it, I mean, I'm kind of like thick-headed or thick-skinned or whatever you want to call it, so it didn't really do that much for me, and it's not because of lack of her skills. I'm just in the 30% maybe that it doesn't really affect them that much, you know?
Right.
But it definitely, I mean, from reading the book, Alan Botkin's book and everything, it's, you know, it's helped a lot of people, and it's a highly recommended procedure.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Alan was a guest in 2016. I think he might have been a guest in 2015.
I think you're right. But, you know, just for our listeners, and I'd like to throw this out there, there are a lot of people trying to imitate the actual method that Alan has derived or designed. And so, you know, beware, because it really... As Roman has pointed out, it's a very difficult situation for the patient or the client to be in. Making sure you have the right professional working with you on achieving the goal. So it's not a simple thing. And
no, it wasn't an easy therapy, and I'm glad I was in the hands of Mohana, because if anybody can do it, I mean, I'm sure if Mohana couldn't do it for me, Alan Botkin couldn't have done it for me either.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
there are a lot of people that tweak one little thing in the and call it their own, and I find that fraudulent.
Right.
Yeah. Well, just to be clear, because not everybody may be aware of what we're discussing, you know, EMDR is a well accepted therapy tool based upon rapid eye movements, and it's used. It's found to be, effective in all sorts of different memory loops, you know, when people going back to, you know, traumatic events. And that's well accepted. What we're talking about is this technique that Dr. Botkin started with, is induced after-death communication, which he discovered by accident while performing the EMDR procedure. He unintentionally added an extra set of movements, and then his patient started conversing with a deceased person, and which of course Dr. Botkin dismissed, but then he decided to try to replicate it, and he did it again with somebody else, and the same thing happened. And he said, "Well, this is pretty cool. I'm getting
something to this."
And all of a sudden, he was getting a tremendously high percentage of people, and then he started telling his colleagues what he did, and they tried to replicate it, and they were successful as well. So the induced after-death communication is used specifically for people that want to connect to a loved one who has passed.
And that's what I was referring to. I'm sorry if I got the acronyms mixed up.
Yeah.
I know that EMDR was created first by that lady. I forgot what her name was. Shapiro or something like that?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And then after that is when induced after-death communication is Alan Botkin's thing. And that's what we tried.
The initials. and we have to start calling things by their real names.
I know.
Yeah. We had a guest, I believe it was also in 2016. She's written several books, Carla Wills Brandon. Her books are about end-of-life. She terms them end-of-life experiences. Same thing as a near-death, a deathbed vision. They're compelling. Her books are good, and she's a good guest, and she has a tremendous amount of knowledge in that area. So that's somebody that was curious about deathbed visions. We mentioned, Dr. Kerr earlier, but Carla Wills Brandon has written I don't know how many books, on the subject, and it's well worth checking out. You mentioned Roman, Piero Calvi Parisetti.
Yep.
And he's, as you said, he's also talks with a lot of authority and because
conviction, yep.
Conviction, and he has a wonderful Italian Scottish accent.
Very unique, that is for sure.
Yeah, and
very soothing though. What I found really, his courses are very in depth and require a lot of effort on the part of the user to. In order to benefit from what he has to say and from the courses he's teaching. His teachings for people stricken with grief will guide them through and basically correct their situation and just make them feel great about life again. Problem is that it requires work, and most people are lazy. But, I think it's going to be, I wish him all success with that, and I know that his work is fantastic. It's just you have to put in the time. You really have to put in the time to digest the materials and not skip to the last page and just do it. Go through the steps that he recommends.
Yeah, and what we're talking about is he among his other books. Well, one book is called 21 Days in the Afterlife, and he's written. I think four books to date, but he wrote a workbook called Love Knows No Death, which he donated to Forever Family Foundation. He which was incredibly charitable, it's a workbook that's accompanied by videos, 31 videos. Which he literally spent thousands of hours in the production of. And it's based on cognitive behavior therapy. The way that you think, will be able to dictate how you move through grief. And he takes the approach, similar approach to what we believe in, that by learning about the evidence and becoming convinced that the evidence is true, you can change the way that you think about death, and cognitive behavior therapy has been a very, very mainstream, effective tool, mm-hmm. and And a lot of people are having good success, and fortunately, a lot of people are buying the book. So
that's great.
We appreciate that.
I guess my message was that there is work involved with it. You have to get yourself through it, but if you do, it's going to work.
Yeah, you have to pay the dues.
Well, I'm thinking Roman's point is that it's so intensive that if you're really going to focus on what the workbook recommends, you're so involved in that, you're kind of going to forget about your grief because
it's work. Yeah, well, like you know, the whole point is there's no shortcuts, you know, when it comes to grief. But as Roman said, if you put in the time, the results can be profound, you know. And he has a proven method of doing this, so that people should check that out. Do you remember we had on Professor Erlender Haraldson, and he's Erlender's a world authority on phenomena, non-physical phenomena. He wrote a book called The Departed Among the Living, among many other books and scholarly, you know, articles for peer-reviewed journals and so forth. But the book that we interviewed him, oddly enough, it was a book he wrote about the world's greatest Icelandic medium. The mediums are in every corner of the globe, but Indiridsson, you know, was a physical medium and a great medium, and he spent a lot of time putting in the research on physical mediums. And every year we seem to be able to come up with at least one or two guests that talk about physical mediumship, and it's pretty. Some of the stuff is pretty astounding. A guest that we seem to have every year, and we always invite him back because he's so interesting, is Lloyd Auerbach.
Mm-hmm.
Lloyd, he's the go-to guy for anything related to survival or telepathy or consciousness, and he made his bones, so to speak, in ghosts and apparitions. So if you Google Lloyd Auerbach, I think you literally come up with thousands of different videos and articles. You know,
right, but it's Lloyd with one L, in case you're going to Google it.
Yeah. Lloyd. Actually, they approached him. I think he consulted on the Ghostbusters original, you know, movie that came out. So.
I think I remember him complaining that it is completely different from what they told him. Like he gave them their advice, and they completely ignored it.
As Hollywood goes.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, we see that time and again. A lot of the people that we know, they get called in, you know, as a consult, and they put in their two cents. But it all comes down to whether the producers and the directors think that it's going to boost sales and ratings. You know, if it does, then they use the stuff, and if not, they don't. You know, it all
it's
comes
all about
down
money.
Yeah, it all goes down to money. Oh, that's just about the end of our content here. So Fran's going to wrap it up.
I'm going to wrap it up. So we're going to ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Trevor McKinney, Alex Hanna, Veronica James, Warren Ramnath, Richard LeBlay, Vince Mataya, Isabel Ginsberg, Diane Archangel, Doreen Malloy, James Rafferty, Fred Feinstein, Matt Mello, Donna Mello, Marianne Pierzga, David Haith, Michael Tim, Glenna Irwin, and Stanley Mullen. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Absolutely.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.